John 16, verses 25 to 33. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "You believe at last," Jesus answered. "But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world."
Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the Bible, your word, inspired by your Holy Spirit. Please, with the Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to believe and receive what you want to say to us, so that we can become more like Jesus and live lives which please him and honor him. Amen. Do you find it easy to live for Christ? When I went into Christian work, I thought I would have lots of time to pray, lots of time to read books. I thought the mornings would be pretty clear to read and think and pray. In the afternoons, I would take tea with people. There wouldn't be too many evening meetings, surely. Well, now back to reality. It is hard to pastor a church because so many Christians are finding it incredibly difficult to keep going. And that's just the minister and his family. It is hard to live for Christ. The Christian life is not a tea party. It's a full-on war. And Jesus is very honest with us about this. Verse 33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We live in a world which hates Christ. We have an enemy called Satan, who hates us, who wants us to stop trusting Jesus so that he can take us to hell. And so he throws unemployment, bereavement, sickness, disappointment, hurt, and many other things at us so that we will follow him in rejecting King Jesus. We will say, "You're not my King Jesus. I don't love you. I don't trust you. You're not good." All of these thoughts come from Satan. They are provoked by life in a hostile world. But Jesus teaches us so that we can have peace. I see this when I take a funeral for a mature Christian family. They are grief-stricken, but they are at peace because they're trusting God. Then I go perhaps to another family and they are angry or bitter. because they're not submitted to Jesus. Jesus teaches us so that we can have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus has defeated the rebellion of this world when he died and rose again. We're on the victory side. No matter what the world throws at us, no matter what Satan throws at us, we are on the victory side. You'll remember that this is all part of the upper room discourse. Jesus is teaching his disciples in preparation for his death. So he's washed their feet. He must wash us from sin. He's promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're not alone. We have the Spirit of Jesus in us and with us. We are to remain in the vine. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We're to remain attached to him. We are to read his word and pray. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It is. Even though the world will hate us. The most fundamental truth of all is that Jesus loves us. We are loved. We are secure. We are going to heaven. This gives us a security the world can never have. Bernard mentioned in one of his sermons how not long before she died, in 1988, in a moment of surprising candor, in a television interview, Margarita Laski, the famous secular humanist and novelist, said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." We are blessed. We are blessed people. We are forgiven. We are secure in Christ. At the same time, it is an immense battle to live for Christ. So let me give you some encouragement. These three headings are on the backs of your notice sheets. We are as loved by the Father as Jesus. We are as alone in the world as Jesus. We are as victorious over the world as Jesus then. Firstly then, we are as loved by the Father as Jesus. Someone famously took some of the verses of the Bible about God the Father's love for us and made them into a poem. And it goes like this. "My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love, and it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. For I am the perfect father, because I love you with an everlasting love. I rejoice over you with singing. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are broken-hearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Jesus says here in verse 25, though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In other words, there will be no barrier between us and the Father. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No. In the name of Jesus, we will know the Father as Jesus knows the Father. In other words, we can talk to him for ourselves. We can know him as Father. Verse 27, the Father himself loves you. Do you see that? The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I come from God. When we love and believe in Jesus, the Father himself loves us. All of those Bible truths in the poem become true of us. Verse 28, I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. This is a major theme in John's Gospel. Jesus comes from the Father. He gives us the relationship with the Father. He then returns to the Father. We are as loved by the Father as Jesus. Do you know this in your experience? I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you, are you religious? I'm not even asking you, are you a church member? I'm asking you, do you know God as Father, as Jesus knows the Father? Do you know his personal love for you? Number two, we are as alone in the world as Jesus. There may be times of great aloneness, humanly speaking. But if we know God as Father, we will not be alone. Verse 29. Then Jesus said, Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. The truth is, they still don't understand that he was going to be slaughtered on a cross and that they would be persecuted. They're very confident at this point, verse 30. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. You believe at last, Jesus answered. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. The disciples think they've got everything worked out. They do, to some extent, believe in Jesus. But when Jesus is arrested, they will run away. They do not understand that suffering is part of the deal. The cross is fundamental. Jesus went to the cross. We will all go to the cross. This is an experience of aloneness. Christians in northern Iraq and Syria may literally go to the cross under persecution by ISIL. Is there anywhere more lonely than hanging on a cross of crucifixion? For us, it will probably be a lesser cross. It could be family rejecting us. Could be losing a job. Could be that God chooses to mature our faith through years of ill health. The cross is coming. It came to Jesus. It will come to us. That's why we need to internalize all those personal truths about our relationship with the Father. Because if we don't trust him like that, we will scatter. We will run away when the suffering comes. Just as the disciples scattered. Becca and I visited the Colosseum in Rome. It was sobering to stand where countless Christians were fed to the lions just for believing what we believe. A famous evangelist called Paul Rader had a similar experience. He says, in ancient Rome, crowds by the tens of thousands would gather to the Colosseum to watch as Christians were torn apart by wild animals. He says, I stood uncovered to the heavens above, where he sits for whom they gladly died, and asked myself, would I, could I, die for him tonight, to get this gospel to the ends of the earth? I prayed most fervently in that Roman arena for the spirit of a martyr, and for the working of the Holy Spirit in my heart, as he worked in Paul's heart when he brought him on his handcuffed way to Rome. Those early Christians lived on the threshold of heaven, within a heartbeat of home, no possessions to hold them back. I take comfort from the fact that Jesus' disciples were just like us. They were frightened, and they ran away. Even after all Jesus had taught them, they ran away. How wonderful then that Jesus could say, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And it is into this relationship that Jesus is bringing his disciples. So within a short while, Christians were being fed to the lions. But now they could say, I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And you can say that. You may feel very alone at home or in work. You must say to yourself, I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Number three, Jesus. In Jesus we are victorious over the world. We are as victorious over the world as Jesus. The Ugandan bishop, Festo Kivengere, recounts the 1973 execution by firing squad of three men from his diocese. This was, of course, under Idi Amin. February the 10th began as a sad day for us in Kibale. People were commanded to come to the stadium and witness the execution. Death permeated the atmosphere. A silent crowd of about 3,000 was there to watch. I had permission from the authorities to speak to the men before they died, and two of my fellow ministers were with me. They brought the men in a truck and unloaded them. They were handcuffed and their feet were chained. The firing squad stood at attention. As we walked into the centre of the stadium, I was wondering what to say. How do you give the gospel to doomed men who are probably seething with rage? We approached them from behind, and as they turned to look at us, what a sight! Their faces were all alight with an unmistakable glow and radiance. Before we could say anything, one of them burst out, "Bishop, thank you for coming. I wanted to tell you, the day I was arrested in my prison cell, I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. He came in and forgave me all my sins. Heaven is now open, and there is nothing between me and my God. Please tell my wife and children that I am going to be with Jesus. Ask them to accept him into their lives as I did." The other two men told similar stories, excitedly raising their hands, which rattled their handcuffs. I felt what I needed to do was talk to the soldiers, not to the condemned. So I translated what the men had said into a language the soldiers understood. The military men were standing there with guns cocked and bewilderment on their faces. They were so dumbfounded that they forgot to put the hoods over the men's faces. The three faced the firing squad, standing close together. They looked toward the people and began to wave, handcuffs and all. The people waved back. Then shots were fired, and the three were with Jesus. We stood in front of them, our own hearts throbbing with joy, mingled with tears. It was a day never to be forgotten. Though dead, the men spoke loudly to all of Kigezi district and beyond, so that there was an upsurge of life in Christ, which challenges death and defeats it. The next Sunday, I was preaching to a huge crowd in the hometown of one of the executed men. Again, the feel of death was over the congregation. But when I gave them the testimony of their man and how he died, there erupted a great song of praise to Jesus. Many turned to the Lord there. This, I think, is what Jesus meant when he said, verse 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We can overcome anything the world throws at us through Christ. Are you trusting him? Do you belong to him? We are as loved by the Father as Jesus. We are as alone in the world as Jesus. We are as victorious over the world as Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he died on that cross to pay for all our sin, and rose again to show that sin and death and hell and Satan are defeated, and heaven is open, and you can be our Father. We can know you, know your personal love for us. Lord, as we take communion this morning, would you minister these truths to us in a powerful way by your Holy Spirit? May we feed on Christ and know that he is all sufficient. So come amongst us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.